Hello and welcome to another episode of my podcast. It's no longer the political podcast, it's just my angry podcast. I'm just going to talk about things that have made me angry because that was the entire purpose in the first place, and I'm just going to expand my game a bit, shall we say. So, dive into whatever's piquing my interest this week, and what's piquing my interest this week is, well, there's no nice way to put it, sexual harassment in the gaming community in general, and the pervasive nature of it, and the protections afforded to those in the community. And I think it's particularly pertinent right now, not only because we've got a lot of stories coming out at the moment from individuals who feel they have been sexually harassed or harassed in general, or suffered from sexism, racism, so on in the community, but also when we're talking about Black Lives Matter and so on in general, this idea of silence and complicity and protections afforded to those in communities by their friends and their colleagues, where people are afraid to upset the status quo and to accept the claims of those that aren't their friends that are made against their friends. So to really delve into it, first things first, we need to tell you the story. Now, I'm sure most of you haven't heard much about this, but in the Dota 2 community and in the Counter-Strike community and in various communities across the internet, women are very often abused by the male-dominated members of these communities. You hear a lot, especially in games such as Counter-Strike, where having a microphone is often required and a necessity to be able to perform at a high level, where women in these games feel that if they use the microphone, they are immediately targeted for abuse. Whether that is sexual abuse, whether it's just plain sexism, saying you shouldn't be playing the game, and just general barriers to entry and feeling like they don't belong in the community. And this is a problem that has been happening for 20 years, since 20, 30, since the start of gaming. It's always been seen as a male space, and I think the main issue with it is this idea of culture. It's this idea that if you're into gaming and you're a woman, you should simply expect for people to make these kind of comments, and that you need to grow a thicker skin, and that really there's nothing that can be done. Well, that's just not the case. Because we can look back in history, and we look back in, say, the 1950s, when women are trying to get into work, women are trying to get into proper jobs, and after the Second World War, a lot of women were trying desperately to stay in work, where they'd been required to work because of, their men going off to war and not being available, and so they worked in the factories. And you know what? It turned out women can do the same job that men can do just fine. And so when war came to the end, they said, "Why the hell can't I keep working? Why do I gotta go home and just make babies and be a housewife? I want a job. I want freedom. I want to manage my own life." And men said no. And they fought hard, and eventually women are now accepted in the workplace. Not entirely, however, we still have issues with sexism. But things can be changed. Things can improve. And so to pretend that the gaming community is some kind of, impossible to adapt community where sexism will always exist, and that if you want to be included, you've just gotta deal with that. No, that's unacceptable. And it's all our faults. Every man in the community is guilty of this. I know I'm guilty of this, of allowing this kind of thing to happen. And it's not just about your friends, it's about when you're in a 5v5 game and someone on your team starts getting harassed for having a microphone, you shut that down. You shut it down. You stand up for that person. You don't need to know them. You don't need to know anything about them. Doesn't mean you can't protect them. Doesn't mean you can't stand up for them and tell people that it's wrong for them to judge them for being a woman. And that's kind of what the issue with all this is. I'm going to talk more specifically about the Dota scene because a lot of this stuff is a bit more concrete in a sense, and it's one that's closer to me in terms of the personalities, that I understand them and I know them better. So, the main culprit of this kind of Me Too movement in the Dota community is a personality called Grant. That's Grand D with a D, and then Grant with a T. He's a Dota 2 analyst, caster, commentator, general personality in the scene, who's been around for a very long time. You know, he's been a part of the scene for 6+ years at the minimum. Is part of a very big organization called Evil Geniuses, which is one of the biggest esports organizations out there in terms of representing individuals and representing teams across multiple esports, and has generally been one of the bigger, more successful organizations over the years. And yeah, he was hired by them. And it's coming out that Grant has, over the years, performed some pretty heinous acts, culminating specifically in an occasion where it seems that he has sexually assaulted an individual who was too drunk to consent, and that individual believes they were spiked, not necessarily by Grand Grant, because they don't know, but potentially by Grand Grant, who then sexually assaulted this individual. And there are other instances with this person, with Grant, where he gets too drunk. He you know, this isn't an isolated incident. In the past, he was known as a streamer who would get too drunk on stream. He would often be seen throwing up on his stream. He is often known for harassing women, harassing people in general, and just being a bit of a dick. And people in the scene, the other personalities in the scene, are coming out and saying, now, you know, I knew he was a bit of a dick. I knew he got too drunk sometimes, but I didn't know it was this. There's also a case that has come out now where he lost a court case over harassing an individual, a female caster who was trying to get into the scene, but then Grand Grant kind of spearheaded, so to speak, a witch hunt against her, whereby the gaming community, the Dota 2 community, forced this caster out of the scene. Now, I don't know if she was very good, I don't really remember, but she was forced out of the scene, and Grant spearheaded this, and more importantly, continued to harass her. On a personal level, harass her on her stream, send a threatening message, and she decided to take him to court. And she won in court, and he was forced, and she obtained a restraining order against him. Now, the other personalities in the scene, who obviously were Grant's friends at the time, were told by Grant that the case was not about harassment in the same sense, and also that he had in fact won the case. And now this presents an interesting problem for these other personalities in the scene, where how much guilt and how much responsibility should you take upon yourself to check up on your friends? Where your friends claim that, you know, they're dealing with a court case, and where they claim they've won it and that it's no big deal, do you take that advice? Do you take that statement at face value? Or do you have a responsibility as an individual to investigate deeper? I think why this situation is so interesting to me is it presents such a interesting moral conundrum, where I don't think many of us would distrust our friends. I don't think many of us would have reasons to not believe our friends. If my friends told me something about their life, I'm not going to go snooping and investigating and searching court cases online to see if I can figure out whether they're telling the truth or not. But then again, Grant's behaviour was not completely out of the blue. It's not as if he hadn't had previous issues with being too touchy-feely, with getting too drunk, with overstepping boundaries and being rude to people and harassing people and generally causing issues in the scene. And so you've got to take some personal responsibility for taking him at face value and for not questioning deeper about the kind of behaviours that he was presenting. Another important aspect of this, as I mentioned earlier, is the idea of the protection within the scene that an individual like Grant received. E.g., Evil Geniuses is a huge organization in esports, and the people at the top of this must have known about his court case. They must have known. And while his friends might not have a personal responsibility to investigate his claims about court cases and so on, an organization that hires that person, a public organization you know, with a lot of public representation, with a lot of community-facing projects, absolutely has a responsibility to check up on the people that they are hiring to represent them. EG released a statement, a Twitter statement, saying that they had a zero-tolerance policy for this kind of behaviour and that Grant would no longer work for them, which, of course, is the statement they're going to make, but a zero-tolerance policy? Seems to me fairly obvious that you must have known that he was, you know, being accused of harassment and going to court over it. Seems a fairly simple, you know, I'm asked if I have convictions and that kind of thing before I'm going into a job. I think they'd know that this was an issue that he was facing, and in fact there are text logs from certain individuals, one called Gods, of them, you know, relatively dismissing the claims, just dismissing the case as no big deal, there's nothing to be worried about, nothing important, Grant's a good guy and it doesn't matter, and other casters and other streamers in the scene, you know, this is back in 2016 or so, saying, oh, you know, laughing it off, like, what do you expect? What do you expect? You're a woman in the Dota scene, what do you expect? What should women in the Dota scene expect? I think what they should expect is a welcoming community that appreciates that people of all colours, creeds and country and wherever want to play the game and want to enjoy the game and want to share in the joy that is gaming in this community and share in Dota 2. But we have this clique at the very top of a game and a community that is for people who didn't get into cliques at school. Don't know about you, but for me and for most of the people that I know into who are very into gaming, it was an escape. It was an escape from the fact that people didn't like you necessarily, and that you couldn't get into the cool crowd, and that you were excluded all the time, and yet here we are, doing the same thing to people over and over again. And this clique at the top of the community, at the top in these personalities, means that they are getting away with things that they shouldn't. And Grant is only one example. There are other examples of people who've been caught up in less serious situations, shall we say. There's one called Zaiori who's gotten messed up in a power dynamic situation whereby he's being accused of pressuring an individual into having sex. Not necessarily rape or sexual assault or something, but the implication that if she didn't give him what he wanted, he wouldn't give her more work. But then Zaiori's argument to that is that he never dangled any work in front of her and there was no prospect of them working, and that their only real contact was in social circles and so on. But there's this continuing theme of bystanders in the community whereby women or just people in general will come forward with these claims, and the community is willing to turn a blind eye. And that's the kind of attitude that has to change if you want to see a big development in terms of the Dota scene, in terms of being more welcoming towards women and minorities and so on, because you've got to stand up for them if you want them to be here. If you're more willing to stand up for your terrible, harassy arsehole friend who you're willing to admit was an arsehole and you knew was an arsehole the entire time, then you are willing to listen to this woman who's been abused by that person, you're never going to succeed. These people are never going to enter the scene. And I know women in gaming have been harassed for far too long, and for far too long it hasn't been a safe space for them, and far too long it hasn't been a fun community for them to be a part of. And we're all a part of the problem. There have been times where I have ignored statements made by my friends in games where there was no reason for them to behave that way, no reason for them to make comments like that, but they made them. And I watched and let it happen and continued to play games with that person. And that's the kind of behaviour we have to cut out. We have to stand up to our friends and tell them, hey, that's not acceptable. That's not the acceptable thing to say. I'm not okay with you talking like that. And if they're not willing to change, well then you've got to stop playing with them. It's that simple. Be a good person. If you're not willing to be a good person, you're not willing to stand up for vulnerable people when your so-called friends are harassing them and abusing them, then you're complicit. You're as equally bad as they are, because what you're saying is that their behaviour is okay just because, what, they're kind of funny, because they're a good analysis, they've got good analysis of Dota games. That doesn't mean you get to tell women that they're bad people or that you get to rape them. None of it. Anywhere on the scale. It's all wrong. and we should all be doing a better job in preventing it from infesting this community. And this is how it links back into Black Lives Matter and the current political situation, where we're talking a lot about those who are complicit, those who are complicit in allowing this kind of behavior to continue unchallenged. Because when you sit there silently as someone is harassed, whether that be because they're black or whether they're a woman, whether it's over gaming or in person or in real life, whether you're a police officer, whether you're a colleague, whether you're in management, whether you're anything, if you're stood by and watching it happen, you're allowing it. You're passively allowing it to occur. And until we all start standing up together and challenging this kind of behavior, it will continue to infect all the communities that we are a part of. And so that's what I want you to take away from today. Just think more, be brave. Don't be afraid to challenge your friends. Don't be afraid to challenge anyone if they're going to talk this way, if they're going to behave this way. Don't let them get away with it, and don't allow your own legacy and your own outward facing projection to be tarnished by the behaviors of someone else. Because if you are there allowing it to happen, your reputation will be linked to them and will be tarnished, and we're going to see it. And hopefully I'll be releasing a follow-up episode in the coming days or week where some more of this comes out and we hear more about how this behavior was enabled in the community, because it's all a bit she said at the moment. But it goes on, and it goes on everywhere and in everyday life, at your work, at your school, at your job, in your family, in your hobbies, everywhere. This kind of thing can happen, and it's your responsibility to try and stop it. Thank you for listening. See you all again soon.